We want to thank you for tuning in to the Good News JesusChrist.org. Today I'm going to be talking about what it means to renew your mind. We need to know what it means to renew our mind. The English word says that renewing comes from two words, anna and neo. And basically what the Greek word anna means is upward completing a process, and neo is something that's new in time. So renewing your mind means to raise up your spiritual comprehension to a new level continuously, new in time, to a sanctified reasoning. Sanctification is a spiritual comprehension. It's not a physical aspect of perfecting the flesh. If you go to Galatians chapter 3, for instance, Paul says, "Who has bewitched you, you foolish Galatians, having begun perfect in the spirit and the person of Jesus Christ, you're now trying to be made perfect in the flesh. Who's bewitched you? Cast a spell of witchcraft on you." Okay, so it's very obvious that you're sanctified in the person of Jesus Christ, which is what Hebrews chapter 10 says, that the eternal spirit was sacrificed for our sanctification, and that God is the Father of spirits of men made perfect in Jesus Christ. It's real clear. It's all over the Bible that he has sanctified us. The old body, if it's crucified with Jesus, it's dead. If you're identified in him who is perfect, you're perfect in Christ. So does that mean that you're not going to sin? No, we carry around a crucified carcass. That's not the point. The point is calling those things that aren't as though they are, because God declares them to be. That's what it is. So renewing our mind is what becomes the real value. Why? Because we need to be sanctified in our perspective and seeing things from the same way in which God sees them. So that's why it's a spiritual comprehension continuously, newing time, where we're being sanctified continuously in our reasoning towards coming into agreement with God on things, so to speak. So the flesh is crucified with Christ, so renewing your mind is a way to grow to spiritual maturity. So the question is, how do we renew our mind? Well, there's a few things that we're going to cover first before we actually get into that. The first thing is that you must be born of the Spirit before you can learn how to renew your mind according to the Spirit. Why? Because we have to have the Spirit of God so that we could know what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit's got to be able to speak to us. So that's why we must be born again. So when you or we are spiritually regenerated into the person of Christ, then we become literal children of God in Christ, the Son of God. So we become literal sons and daughters of God in the person of Jesus Christ. When we're baptized into the body of Jesus, our old nature is crucified with Christ in his crucifixion, and we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection to the newness of life. So that's why I say we're a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. So you are sanctified, which means you're set apart. So if you've been set apart, called out of this world system and into the kingdom of light, out of the power of sin to the power of God, out from the power of Satan to the power of God, that word too is to be translated from one realm to another, the word T-O there. So it's very important to understand you're a new creation now. You become a partaker of his divine nature. You have the sperm of God on the inside of you, the Spirit of the living God. You've been born of the seed of the Spirit, the sperm of God, his DNA, a new creation. You are sanctified. You are perfect. Because he's perfect, you're in him as a new creation. So as he was in this world, so are we now in him. That's 1 John. That's what it says. So once again, since we carry around this crucified carcass, that's why it becomes very important to renew the mind. Why? Because without renewing the mind, there are potential problems, which we'll get to, okay? So just hang in there. We're going to get to those things. So our identity is changed from children of wrath, sons of disobedience, to children of light. Our father is changed from the devil to God the Father. And Jesus has given us a new spirit, a new heart, and we receive the mind of Jesus Christ, and we're in the person, the body of Jesus. And our old body is crucified in his crucifixion. So everything's new. Everything's new. I just gave it to you. It's all new. Circumcision of the spirit. Circumcision, the cutting away of the stony heart. New heart. Us cutting away of the old flesh. New creation. Look, mind of Christ, Philippians. Our lives are hidden in Christ. We are alive to God in Christ. So we are the righteousness of God. We are in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Circumcision or circumcision does not avail. New creation avail. So I don't know how much more I can tell you. So those are things to understand, okay? So what's important to understand is two things take place, okay? There is God. You see, people use these scriptures, okay, that God changes you from glory to glory, from faith to faith. That, and they use that for sanctification. That's misquoting it, okay? If you read chapters and read that chapter or that verse within the chapters surrounding it, and then the chapter it's in and the context is in, here's what it's actually saying, okay? That the glory of the new birth, okay, whenever Christ, the image of Christ is revealed to us, and we come to him, okay, through faith, the glory of the new birth to the glory of the glorification of the body and the resurrection, which is what our faith is in, the resurrection. So important to understand, we receive the Spirit when we're born again from glory of the new birth to the glory of the glorification, from the faith of the power of God unto salvation to the faith of the resurrection. Our faith is in vain if there's no resurrection. Faith in the resurrection to the faith of the resurrection. God's faithful to finish the glorious work he started in the glorification. There it is. Context means everything. Means a lot whenever you read things in context, I guess is the point. So, and you don't listen to parrots. Everybody wants to parrot things that don't mean what they mean. Four foundations for renewing your mind, okay? First of all, I covered those things because you must have the correct premise, or you can't renew your mind, because you can't come to a right understanding if your premise is off. So you must have the right belief system, I guess, or you cannot come to the truth. So the point is that here's the four foundations for renewing your mind. Okay, we have authority in Jesus' name over wickedness. Okay, Christ has given us authority to be his witnesses, and he's given us authority, meaning he's given us a spirit, which is the power to testify of his witness, and he's given us authority over evil spirits, wicked spirits, the satanic powers. All authority has been given unto me in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Behold, I give you authority over the enemy, over the Satan and his forces. So we cast down vain imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We are victorious in Christ. We don't fight for the victory. We fight from his victory. He's forever victorious. So we have to understand first foundation, okay? These things, plus we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil in our faith. Why? He's overcome those things. So very first premise to have correct, to understand, to come to a truth, a right belief system to start to renew your mind. A second truth, okay? Walking in the spirit is being in spiritual places in Jesus Christ as a spiritual race. It's not, if you do a good work, you're walking in the spirit. If a work's not a good work, you're not walking in the spirit, you're walking in the flesh. Contextually, once again, that is not what the scripture is saying. So Here's the point, okay? When you come to Christ through faith, you're a doer of the word of God, okay? So what does that mean? You actually perform the word by coming to Christ. So you did the word. So he don't just be a hearer of the testimony, be a doer of it. Come to it by faith. So when you come to it by faith, the scripture says Christ comes to live in you. So if Christ be in you, you are in the spirit. If Christ is not in you, you are in the flesh. So the person of God does righteousness. The person that is not in Christ does not righteousness, like 1 John says. So the point is that being in the spirit is being in a state of the spirit in the person of Jesus Christ. Being in the flesh is being in a state of the flesh outside of Christ. So remember I explained earlier in the video that we're two, T-O, genomai. Translation, when you're born again from the realm of this world system, the realm of darkness, the realm of the power of Satan, translated when you're born again into the realm of God, realm of the Father, realm of light. So that's it. Your state of being determines your walk. So since Christ be in you, you place your mind on heavenly things that are above. Why? Because you must start to say things and see things from the way in which God says them and sees them. So wisdom from above. So let's look at this context a little further, okay? That's the context in the first part of Galatians and in Romans chapter 8, by the way. Whenever you get later into the book of Galatians, it talks about sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit, okay? And here's the context, okay? That the person who sows to the flesh will reap of that flesh corruption that leadeth to death. Why? Because they're outside of Christ and the end is destruction. But those that sow to the spirit, that have received Christ, they reap eternal life because they're already in Christ. So that's what it's referring to. Your end result is your state of being. So that's very important to understand. Okay, so that's the second thing I would encourage you to keep in mind. A third thing that you need to keep in mind for having a proper premise is, as a spiritual race in Jesus, we are perfect as partakers of his nature. Galatians says, as I quoted to you earlier, that we begun to be perfect in the spirit when we believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, so we begin perfection through Christ and need not to continue it through the works of the flesh. Okay, so this is called accursed and falling from grace, looking to anything other than the cross of Christ for perfection. So the cross plus nothing equals salvation. So as well. So we are perfected by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that crucified the eternal spirit for us to perfect us by believing. Okay, so as Christ was in the world, once again, so are we in him now. So we must guard ourselves against sin so that it does not erode our faith to the point of unbelief. That is what the danger is, folks, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. But the fourth thing is that we need to see things from an eternal worldview. So what's your worldview? Now that you're a new creation seated in heavenly places, your worldview must be an eternal one. So the point is we must change our perspective from a limited perspective to an eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that that while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. But the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we walk by faith, not by sight. So those are the four premises. So now, why do we need to renew our mind? Okay? Because our minds were full of darkness and they're futile. That's Ephesians 4:17 through 19. We were corrupted through lust. That's Ephesians 4:22. We walked according to the course of the swirl system underneath the power, the prince of this world system, Satan. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. So what are the problems with not renewing our mind? So this is what I want to get to, why it's so important to renew our mind. And even though Christ sees us as perfect in the spirit, if we don't renew our mind, our faith can be eroded away through sin eroding it to the point of unbelief, to where we reject the living God. That's the danger. That's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 19, where it talks about him exhorting them daily because they became sluggish from hearing the Spirit, to actually not be sluggish, but to continue forward to the saving of their soul. But they allowed sin to come in to deceive them and erode their faith to the point of unbelief, to where they rejected the living God. So that's the danger. And that's in Hebrews 3. In Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, it also states that we need to kind of grow and exercise our spiritual senses. And if we don't, then the danger is we become sluggish. So here's what that says, okay? That of whom we have many things to say, and it's hard to be uttered, seeing that you become dull of hearing. Okay, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or mature in the spirit, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil, good doctrine and false doctrine, so to speak. So the point is they should have become teachers, but they need to be taught the first principles. What does he mean by that? They don't understand that the law was the types, the pictures, and the shadows that pertain to Christ. If you read on forward to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, continuing on to perfection, receiving Jesus Christ, whom the types and the pictures and the shadows were speaking of. And now we have the substance of those things that we were hoped for, the evidence of those things which were not seen, in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's the point he's referring to there. But they're unskilled in the words of righteousness and need to be taught the first principles, because they're not coming to perfection in Christ by receiving him by faith. So they haven't exercised their senses to know good doctrine, bad doctrine, to be able to discern good and evil. So they were babes and needed to be taught again. So that's the danger, is not growing in the word of God, not renewing your mind and becoming sluggish. So that is enough on the dangers. So let's talk about six steps to renew your mind, okay? Here's six steps to renew your mind, okay? So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12. So we are renewed in Christ. Okay, so now since we are renewed in Christ, we're not conformed to this world. We're crucified to this world now. So, and alive to God, that's what Galatians says. And now since Christ be in us, we have been transformed, we can renew our mind to know what is the good and perfect will of God, which is what the points are speaking of there in Romans 12. So that would be the first thing, okay? The second thing is our nature's changed. Since old things have passed away and all things become new, now we must renew our mind according to the inner man, because the outer man is perishing day by day, and our inner man is being renewed day by day by renewing our mind. Okay? So picking up your cross daily and following him is not talking about works. It's talking about renewing your mind. Why? Because each day you have to recognize the fact that you are crucified with Christ and raised in the likeness of his resurrection as a new creation. So continuing on to the saving of your soul, you must continue to renew your mind daily. That's what it's referring to, okay? So the third thing is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know him no more that way. So in the like, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. We are a new creation in Christ." So the point is we know Christ not after the flesh anymore. He's glorified in his finished work, victorious, and we're to be known no more after the flesh, because in the crucifixion of his crucifixion and the new birth experience, that old nature's been crucified and we're raised in a newness of life as a new creation. So henceforth now, we're to no longer be known that way, because God sees us from another perspective now. He says we're righteous. He says we're holy. He says we're perfect. He says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says we're a new creation in Christ. So that's what it says. But we must continue to grow in that spiritual comprehension. So that's why it's important, okay? The fourth thing is that we need to understand that we were under the elements of the world before, and now since we're no longer underneath the elements of that world system anymore, and we're seated in heavenly places in the kingdom of God, we must understand what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we must understand that. The fifth thing we must understand is that since our old nature is crucified, those lusts have been crucified with it, and those affections of the flesh have been crucified. Here's what the scripture says. We crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. We are to allow God to manifest through us the fruits of God. Galatians 5:22, verse 24 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So very important. Sixth thing you must know to renew your mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. That if ye been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are earthly. Like James says, there's heavenly wisdom and there's earthly wisdom, which is demonic, sensual, and earthly. So you don't want that, which is of this world system. You want the heavenly wisdom, that which is from above. So, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We are to sing songs to the Lord, and what we perform in word and action, we are to perform it unto the Lord to glorify God. So basically what that's saying is in everything we do it unto the Lord. So those are the things I would recommend you do to renew your mind. Just some steps to follow. I know it was a little long, but keep this scripture in closing in your mind, okay? Isaiah 26:3, it says, "He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts in the Lord." So, very important to understand, and Christ has given us his mind. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, read that over and over. "Esteeming others better than yourself, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." So we want the mind of Christ. We want to understand that we serve one another in love, that whenever Christ shows himself again, that he's showing himself to us as the servant, you know, who's conquered for us. So, and that we should serve one another as Christ has served us. So elevating others above ourselves, esteeming others better than ourselves. So You do those things, you're on a good path to growing spiritually and your faith. And I encourage you to just continue in your growth. And I'm Martin Williams with the Good News Jesus Christ.org.